Hazel Dark had joined up with her two alternate selves and was having fun trading gossip over their respective Owens when a single leper woman approached them, limping tiredly into their path. The three women stopped abruptly, rather than run her over, and the leper woman dropped to her knees before Hazel.
"Forgive my impertinence, blessed one, but you are Hazel Dark, the liberator of Golgotha?"
"Well, yes, though I didn't exactly do it alone. Was there something you wanted?"
The leper pushed back her cowl, revealing a face half eaten away by rot. Patches of bare skull showed through the sparse remaining hair, and her teeth showed clearly where her left cheek should have been. Up close, the smell was appalling, though Hazel and the others tried hard not to show it. The leper woman produced one gray hand from under her cloak. It was skeletal, and only had two fingers on it. The leper woman held it out in supplication to Hazel.
"You have been touched by God, lady. You have worked miracles. I've seen it on the hollow. So work one more miracle for me. I beg you, heal me."
Hazel fell back a step, shocked.
I can't. I don't know how."
"You have healed your own terrible wounds. You are blessed by God. Only lay your hand on me, and I too shall be healed. I know it."
Hazel looked to Bonnie and Midnight for help, but they were stunned too. Hazel looked back at the leper woman before her and didn't have one damned clue what to say. So in the end, she reached out a hand, her flesh crawling, and laid it firmly on the leper's bowed head. They both waited a few moments, but nothing happened. After a while, the leper woman sighed and got to her feet again.
"Thank you for trying, lady. My faith was not strong enough. I won't trouble you again."
And she pulled her hood back over her ruined head and limped slowly away. Hazel looked after her and then back at her hand. She rubbed it hard against her side and then stopped, almost guiltily. She realized there were other lepers watching her.
"I would have helped her if I could."
No one said anything, and after a while, Hazel walked on. Bonnie and Midnight followed her, some distance behind. The Haydenmen attacked just after first light. The rain was coming down like it had a grudge. The augmented men didn't even seem to notice. They came streaming into the clearing from all sides, forcing their way through the packed tree line by sheer brute force. Wood splintered and cracked under their servo-motor-driven strength, and soon the clearing was full of Haydenmen. The guards in the watchtower sounded the first alarm, and lepers went running to the walls to defend the mission. Hundreds of Haydenmen came marching through the rain in silence, attacking without challenge or war cries. They were beyond such things. They strode endlessly out of the jungle, tall and perfect like living gods, graceful beyond hope, with the sun burning in their eyes and energy weapons in their hands. A fusillade of arrows rained down on them, mostly glancing off their internal armor. When the arrows did pierce flesh, the augmented men merely pulled them out and let them drop to the ground. They felt no pain. They opened fire with their hand disruptors, punching holes in the wooden outer wall, concentrating their fire to create holes large enough to enter through. The wooden wall burned briefly here and there, but the driving rain soon put it out. And then the Haydenmen reached the outer wall, and the first few broke through into the compound beyond, and it was all hand-to-hand fighting after that. The lepers up on the catwalks kept up a steady rain of arrows on their enemy, and now and again, an augmented man crashed to the ground and did not rise again, an arrow in his eye. Other defenders poured boiling oil on the Haydenmen, climbing through the holes they'd made in the wall. Those few defenders with energy weapons picked their targets carefully. Inside the wall, defenders rushed to meet the intruders and held them in place by sheer weight of numbers. Owen and Hazel fought side by side before the largest hole in the outer wall, and every Haydenman that came within reach of their weapons died. They swung their swords with far more than human strength, and the heavy steel blades sheared clean through internal armor and implanted steel mesh to pierce the more vulnerable organs beyond. Fast as the augmented men were, Owen and Hazel were faster. They stopped the invaders in their tracks, and step by step, they pushed the Haydenmen back out into the clearing, kicking aside the bodies of the fallen to get at their inhuman foe. Bonnie Bedlam and Midnight Blue danced among the augmented men, glorying in blood and slaughter, laughing and singing as they killed. Bonnie threw herself into the thick of the combat, cutting at everything within reach, ignoring the injuries she took herself. The wounds healed so quickly she barely felt the pain and wouldn't have cared if she had. Pain and she were old friends. She was death and destruction, and nothing could stand before her. Midnight teleported back and forth across the compound, blinking in and out of existence just long enough to strike down an enemy and be gone again. She seemed to be everywhere at once, and everywhere she was, a Haydenman fell. The two Sisters of Glory came howling out of nowhere, swinging their swords like the wrath of God. They cut viciously at the Haydenman, darting in and out again, slashing at vulnerable joints and unprotected throats. Sister Marion strode woodenly into the thickest part of the fighting, lurching and swaying and somehow never where her enemy thought she would be. She brought her sword around in a long, sweeping arc, cutting right through a Haydenman's glowing eyes, and then finished off her blinded prey with a knife to the heavy veins at the top of the thigh. Blood splashed her uncanny witch's outfit and looked perfectly at home there. Sister Kathleen swung her sword with both hands, cutting a path through the enemy by sheer determination. She ducked and darted, bobbed and wove, coming at the augmented men from unexpected angles. She slipped between them, elusive as mercury, leaving dead men in her wake. Colonel William Hand went to meet the Haydenman with grim purpose and some satisfaction, glad at last to be doing what he was meant to do, and did so well. He'd been dying for so long, he'd forgotten how good it felt to be alive. The augmented men tried ganging up on him, but Otto was always there to watch his back, hacking at the long legs of the Haydenmen and bringing them down so his knife could reach their throats and faces. He laughed and sniggered as he killed, reveling in the destruction of such perfection of form. And everywhere, inside the mission and without, the lepers fought as best they could, with guns and swords and sharpened farm implements, or anything that came to their gray and rotting hands. Anyone who could stand came out to fight, throwing themselves at the enemy with the calm desperation of those who knew they were dying anyway and had nothing left to lose. And also because they were determined to preserve the few things in their lives that still had value and meaning: the mission, their homes, and the saint who had come to give them hope when they thought they had lost it forever. They would fight for the mission, but they would die for St. B. Slowly, the Haydenmen were forced back out of the mission and into the clearing beyond, though many died on both sides in the process. Ironically, the greater open space favored the augmented men, giving them more room to move, to exploit their strength and speed. The defenders stuck close to the outer wall, guarding the open holes, refusing to be tempted further. And still the Haydenmen came streaming out of the surrounding jungle, hundreds and hundreds of them, tan and perfect, and perfectly deadly. A group of Haydenmen felled one of the trees with their energy weapons, and used it as a great battering ram against the main gate of the mission. As long as the gate held, the lepers were safe from the main force of the augmented men, and both sides knew it. The heavy wooden gate shuddered under every blow, the great steel hinges groaning loudly. The guards in the watchtowers rained down arrow after arrow at the straining Haydenmen, but even when one fell, another was immediately there to take his place. The gate began to bow inwards as the massive weight of the tree slammed into it again and again. After a while, the constant back and forth motion of the Haydenmen churned the ground beneath them into thick mud, and the weight of the tree sent them slipping and sliding in the treacherous morass. And then Owen and Hazel arrived to save the day. They came running through the scattered battles, cutting down anyone who got in their way with effortless speed and style. The augmented men dropped the tree trunk and turned to face their new enemy with inhuman speed, and met Owen and Hazel with sword blows so fast they were blurs in the rain. Owen and Hazel countered them easily and took the fight to the Haydenmen. They were quickly separated by the press of bodies, and soon they were all slipping and sliding in the mud, often hanging onto the tree trunk for support while they cut and hacked. Hazel went one-on-one with a giant Haydenman, reveling in the chance to fight someone at last who operated on levels close to her own. Blows and parries and counters came and went inhumanly fast, and sparks flew from their blades with every contact. The rain drove down around them, running down their intent faces. In the end, Hazel beat the Haydenman sword aside with her superior strength and rammed her sword through his chest and out of his back. He fell to his knees, the golden light slowly going out of his eyes. Hazel jerked her sword free in a last flurry of blood and looked around for fresh prey. Owen moved swiftly among the Haydenmen, his lighter frame enabling him to move more freely in the muddy conditions. His sword flashed in and out, come and gone in a moment, always that little bit too fast for the augmented men who tried to crowd around him. He seemed to grow stronger and faster the longer he fought, as though something were awakening in him, until he was more than a fighter, more than a warrior. He felt invincible, like some unstoppable force of nature, sent to teach the Hademen the error of their ways. He stamped and lunged, and then he slipped in the mud and fell. He landed awkwardly, jarring his right elbow on something solid, and his sword flew from his momentarily numbed fingers. Immediately, there were Hademen all around him, and only their uncertain footing in the mud gave Owen the few moments he needed to scrabble to his feet. He shot a Hademen through the chest at point-blank range, and the others fell back. Owen grabbed for the knife he kept in his boot, cursing and blaspheming as he looked frantically about for his lost sword. And then he looked up, just in time to see the blunt end of the great wooden battering ram coming straight at him. Four of the Hademen had broken away from him to pick it up, and they surged forward, driving themselves and their burden on through the mud and rain. Owen just had time to see his death coming, and then the huge end of the tree trunk, easily 5 feet in diameter, hit him squarely and slammed him back against the immovable main gate. For a moment, it was like a dream. He could feel his whole body, his bones and his organs, actually flattening under the impact before things began breaking. And then the pain hit him, and it wasn't like a dream at all. The tree trunk swung back, but Owen stayed where he was, stuck to the main gate by his own blood. Light filled his eyes again. There was more blood from his nose and ears and eyes. The pain was unbelievable, so bad he couldn't even think through it, and he stood trapped in the agony of that moment, like a fly trapped in amber. His punctured lungs trembled in his chest, unable to draw breath in or push it out. His arms and legs were broken, white shards of bone protruding through the bloody flesh, and his face was smashed to a pulp. He slid slowly, helplessly down the gate, leaving a thick trail of dark blood behind him on the wood, which had actually cracked and splintered under the force of the impact. Owen lay still in the mud, not breathing, barely thinking, his heart clenching, and a few last sporadic pulses in his crushed chest. He never heard Hazel scream with horror and rage, never saw her fall upon the Hademen and kill all that remained. He lay in the mud, the rain slowly washing the blood from his ruined face.
Such a stupid way to die. So many things still left to do. No, I won't die. I refuse to die. Not here, not now, when I'm still needed.
Owen reached inside himself, into that mysterious part of his mind where his power lay, and he pulled it forth from the undermined by the brute force of his will, whether it wanted to come or not. He hauled it up out of the dark place where he couldn't see and thrust it into his broken, dying body. Healing energies crackled through him, and he wanted to scream at the new pain as his splintered bones slowly knitted themselves together again. But it wasn't until his lungs healed and reinflated that he could manage even the smallest of whimpers. His heart healed itself in a moment, beating strong and hard. Bones became whole, organs sound, and it all hurt like the pits of hell. And then, the power retreated back into the depths of his mind, leaving Owen lying there in the mud, soaked in his own blood and as weak as a kitten, but brought back from the brink of death itself by his own refusal to be beaten by anything, even the near destruction of his own body.
Well, there's another thing I didn't know that I could do.
Hazel dropped to her knees beside him, her eyes wide at the sight of so much blood soaking him.
Lie still, Owen. I'll get help. Don't die. Don't you dare die on me, Owen. I won't stand for it.
Easy, love. I'm all right. Healed myself. Help me back on my feet.
Hazel checked his chest first with experienced probing fingers to reassure herself he was still basically intact, and then hauled him up to his feet.
Hell's teeth, Owen. When I saw that bloody tree slam into you, I thought I'd lost you for sure. Can anything kill us anymore?
Oh, I think a direct energy shot to the head would probably do it. That, or a stake through the heart. But we're getting tougher all the time. Now, help me back inside. I'm no use to anyone till I've got my breath back.
Hazel got him over to the nearest hole in the wall. The Hademen gave them both plenty of room. Bonnie and Midnight came together in the middle of the fighting, and when they stood their ground back to back, no one could move them. They blocked the way to the biggest hole in the mission wall, and the Hademen came at them in an endless tide, only to fall back dead or dying, like waves crashing against an immovable rock. The Haydenmen had energy weapons, but in the constantly moving crush of bodies, even their augmented computer minds found it hard to hit any one target, even when they no longer cared about hitting their own. And so the battle raged until the sheer press and numbers of Haydenmen gained enough momentum to drive Bonnie and Midnight back, step by step, until they were standing in the hole in the wall itself, and from there they would not be moved. Until the Haydenmen brought forward a large object wrapped in layers of thick waterproofing. The augmented men fighting Bonnie and Midnight took one look and fell back immediately, hurrying to get out of the way. Bonnie and Midnight lowered their weapons and looked at each other, and then at the object, as the Haydenmen pulled away the wrapping to reveal a portable disruptor cannon. Bonnie glared at Midnight.
Get out of here, teleporter! Vanish!
I won't leave you here to die!
I regenerate, remember?
Not from that you won't!
Teleport, damn you! I'd run if I thought I'd get anywhere!
Bonnie!
Go! I've always known I'd die alone.
Air rushed in to fill the space she'd left. She reappeared behind the crew of the disruptor cannon, hewing about with her axe. But even as the Haydenmen fell away, dead or dying, one of them had already aimed and fired. When the beam finally shut down, there was a hole in the wall big enough to lead an army through, and no sign anywhere of Bonnie Bedlam. Midnight Blue howled with loss at the death of someone she might have been, at the death of a good comrade in arms. She cut down the rest of the cannon's crew and held the cannon over her head, her arm muscles bulging. She'd never lifted anything that heavy before, but in that moment, she felt like she could hold it aloft forever. She looked around her, picked the heaviest concentration of Haydenmen, and threw the cannon into their midst with all her strength. When the dust finally settled, there was a great crater and broken bodies everywhere. She stumbled back to the wall to guard the gaping hole. And that was when she heard the sound from inside. Midnight stepped through and saw what was left of Bonnie Bedlam lying some distance from her. It was mostly bones, scorched and blackened by the terrible energies of the disruptor beam, but somehow still held together by strands of bloody meat. Bits and pieces of organs could be seen pulsing inside the broken ribs and shattered sternum. Terribly, the thing was still alive and suffering. Midnight stumbled forward and knelt beside the body. The skull grinned at her with broken teeth, but incredibly, there was an intact eye in one of the sockets. As Midnight watched, another eye slowly formed in the second socket. Strands of muscle formed out of nowhere, creeping over the bone like worms, pulling the lower jaw back into place. Further down the body, the organs were repairing themselves. The heart was beating, though its blood just splashed everywhere for the moment. The lungs reinflated, sucking in air. Long red muscles formed striations and linked the arms and legs together. Midnight looked back at the head. Skin covered the wet red flesh, and lips formed slowly over the teeth. The mouth opened, and breath hissed in and out.
Told you I could take it. We survived a direct hit from a cannon once before on Mistworld, remember? Of course, Owen was with us then. We were always stronger together.
Jesus, you're a mess. I'll get you to the infirmary.
No time. You guard that hole in the wall while I finish regenerating. And if you see them setting up another disruptor cannon, pick me up and run like hell, because there's no way I could survive another blast like that.
You got it. If anyone gets past me, bite their ankles.
Midnight moved back to the wall, stepped into the great hole, and defied the Haydenmen to get past her. She stood there with her axe in her hands, laughing at the augmented men, ready to stand her ground till the battle was over, till death or till hell froze, whichever came first. The battle surged back and forth, towards the mission and away again, with neither side able to hold the advantage for long. Sister Kathleen saw the bomb first. Caught for a moment in a quiet eddy, she looked around for a new opponent and saw six Haydenmen carrying a heavy explosive device between them, heading slowly for the main gate of the mission. A bodyguard of six more Haydenmen surrounded the bomb, using their disruptors indiscriminately to clear the way before them. Kathleen recognized the device. She'd worked in mining before she came to the church. She called out to Marion, naming the new threat, and together they carved a path through the surging crowd towards the bomb. Sister Marion stalked through the crush in her tattered black and her Halloween face, emerald lips stretched in a smile that had no mercy in it. Sister Kathleen swung her sword in complex patterns, moving so swiftly and unexpectedly that neither she nor her blade were ever where her opponents expected them to be. The two sisters reached the bomb's honor guard together and threw themselves at the unsuspecting Haydenmen. Their guns exhausted, the augmented men stood their ground with naked steel and would not be moved. The progress of the bomb had been stopped. Not far from the edge of the clearing, but the sisters couldn't reach it. They battled on, their faith pushing them forward when any other might have retired or dropped from sheer exhaustion. But in the end, only Kathleen saw what was needed. She said a last prayer to God and forced her way between two Haydenmen by throwing everything she had into an attack that left her totally defenseless. She burst through, heading for the bomb, and two swords hit her from behind at once, slamming into her back and kidneys. She cried out, blood spraying from her mouth, but kept going, the headlong momentum of her last desperate charge bringing her to the bomb. She flailed wildly about her with her sword, killing one of the Haydenmen carrying the bomb, and the device crashed to the ground. And then it was a simple task for Kathleen to reach forward and activate the 5-minute timer. Sister Marion saw what had happened and cried out helplessly as Kathleen threw herself over the bomb, clinging to it determinedly so that the Haydenmen couldn't get to it and undo what she'd done. Sister Marion turned and ran for the mission.
Retreat! Retreat!
Others took up the cry, trusting her decision, and soon all the defenders of St. Bee's mission had broken away from the battle and were sweeping back across the clearing, heading for the main gate and the larger holes in the outer wall. At first, the Haydenmen pursued them, but they quickly realized something was wrong and stopped, suspecting a trap or a trick of some kind. Back at the bomb, the Haydenmen cut and hacked at Kathleen, trying to force her to let go, but she clung on with the last of her strength, feeling her life draining out of her, but refusing to release her grip. Finally, she died, though it took the augmented men some time to realize she'd gone. They pried her hands off the bomb and threw the dead nun aside. Only then did they see the timer and realize what Kathleen had bought with her stubborn, defiant death. The Haydenmen turned to run, and the bomb went off. The lepers had made it inside and secured the main gate in time, and although there was some structural damage among the smaller buildings, the colonists and their champion survived. After the last tremors of the explosion had died away and the walls and the ground had stopped shaking, Sister Marion opened the main gate and looked out. All that remained of the attacking army were a few half-melted metal shapes here and there. The Haydenmen force was gone, as though it had never been. There was no trace at all of Sister Kathleen.
Teach those metal bastards to play with dangerous toys. God bless you and keep you, Sister Kathleen. And damn all the Haydenmen to hell.